with me here in the studio is Professor Abraham Kwol, Dean School of Social and Economic Studies, University of Juba. He joins me and we have been discussing and looking at the economic situation in the country. Yes, Professor, you are of course explaining to us on how the crisis in Sudan now is affecting South Sudan, particularly when it comes to the humanitarian situation and also, the prices of commodities in towns that you mentioned, like rain, that used to have a lot of food, now are facing shortages. Are you worried that with this particular crisis in Sudan, and of course, our South Sudanese have been suffering and looking for food as well in United States where it comes, in Malakal where it comes, with Donna Fatich rocking the whole of the region, do you think our people might even be forgotten and will not be supported?
Well, thank you, Savid William. You know, one of the things that I want to reiterate is that, you know, a crisis of Sudan, I could also call it a blessing in disguise, in the sense that, you know, Sudan has become a refuge for the people who are fighting the people of South Sudan. Whether you are fighting the government, that war was also affecting people. All the rebellions are housed up in Sudan in all these years. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the current crisis, the high chance is that there will be no more South Sudanese who is against the people of South Sudan, against the government, will be housed up in Khartoum. Mm-hmm. So that one now has created a new environment. And that is why I call it a blessing in disguise. This means now, with the current pressure that is there, if the government plan very well, with the stability that the government will know that there will be no more rebellion. Mm-hmm. Because if you rebel, you should get the country that will be able to host you. And Sudan has been doing that for a long time. And this one now, it needs a more plan. And this is telling us that despite the fact that there is going to be a pressure, which we are going to have, we have two choices. Mm-hmm. If the government doesn't put plan in place so that we'll be able to see how our people could be able to be fed and how we could be able to respond to humanitarian crisis, then there is going to be more crisis. And this crisis, if it affects the people of South Sudan, okay, it will also affect the government. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot have a government where people are also hungry and people are dying. People will not be happy with that. And as a result of this, that is why it is good for the government to make sure that they put things in place.
Great. Now, as the conflict, of course, in Sudan continues, let's look at the situations, the likely scenarios that are to happen, and particularly economically. Let's look at economic before we even look at the political impact of this. What are the likely scenarios that are likely to happen as this conflict continues? It's over 4 months now that it has been ongoing in Sudan.
Well, I think I have answered that question early by highlighting four issues. One is that the chances of our oil continued flowing, the chances of it not being stopped are very likely very high. That is one scenario, which is going to affect, you know, that we non-oil revenue is a little bit improving, but that is not the main livelihood. Mm-hmm. Secondly is the issues of which I talk about, the influx of refugees and the South Sudanese who are also coming, the returnees who are coming home, which is also going, because the big population, it is going to bring very big pressure on the available little resources. So the demand for the little resources that are goods that are there will be very high. And this means it will make the prices to be high, and it will make also the people in the market to be able to hold their goods, so that now they'll be able to sell when the price is very high. And that thing is going to affect the life of each and everyone. The third one is what I said, the humanitarian crisis, where you should see into it that because of the pressure and the UN agencies were not prepared for such a thing, to have a budget for the refugees who are coming to South Sudan. That thing, they have to shift some budget line, which is already available for the people who are already supported here. And that thing is going to be problematic. And the fourth one, which I said earlier, is also the issues of the goods that were already coming from South Sudan. Goods routes are going to be blocked. And now the states that were purely depending on goods that come from Sudan have to get goods from other part of East Africa. Yeah. And by getting that, it means the goods will be expensive.
Absolutely.
There, which could not be afforded by the normal citizen.
Yes. Yeah. And as we did mention, of course, the purchasing power of the South Sudanese pounds as well keep going down and down. And we, you know, see like things will go up. How can South Sudanese cope?
Well, the only way that people should be able to cope is that it's not something that need to be done overnight. It is a long-term thing, which means now South Sudanese has to be investing in subsistence farming as the beginning point, so that now you know if you don't farm, then you know next year there will be no humanitarian food and there will be nothing that will be given by the government. So it means people should be able to begin planning ahead and begin doing something that will help them in the next 3 or 5 or 6 month time.
Now, as we talk about this, of course, we all understand that all these can somehow be resolved if the country is in peace, in total peace, where people can go for to their farms and be able to cultivate without any fear of being attacked. Now, let's talk about the implementation of the peace agreement. And just recently, the parliament has passed the electoral bill. First, what's your thought about this bill?
Well, the bill has got some aspect of it which is being very controversial. And one of the aspects of it is that we had got the issue of 5% that will be appointed by the president, which has got brought a lot of uproars and a lot of talk from the political parties and the oppositions. And I see that one to not to be a very big problem, because Sir William, whatever that you had been doing, if it happened to other people, then you have to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. In fact, when the political parties were against that thing, I am wondering what new is in 5%. Because you see, during the election of 2010, we had got percentage that allocated a party called the party list. Mm-hmm. Okay? The party list, these are the people who were handpicked by the president or by the chair of those political parties. We had also in this current peace agreement, remember, out of the number that was given to all the opposition, like IO 128, OSO 50, OPP 30, FDs 10. Those people, Sir Bill William, they were nominated by those parties, and the chair leaders, the chairperson of the parties, where they nominate themselves first into ministerial position. So I don't see why, if they had been nominating themselves and if they had position that had already been allocated to them, what significance does 5% have?
Well, most of the citizens will say that it is time for them as citizens to be the one to have their government. They should be the one to be able to send their own representatives to parliament and not being nominated by party chairperson.
You know what happened, Sir Bill William? This is the best practice all over the world. That in every election, there are positions that are given to the constituencies. And there are positions that are given to the parties to nominate people into the parliament. And as a result of this, the only adjustment that could have been done is to say that this one will be done by parties, but not the president. That is the adjustment that could have been done. So that if the president, if you become the president and you are the head of the party that is leading in the election, then you have the biggest percentage of the nomination. Because this is the way that they accommodate people who had been paying allegiance to the parties but were able to lose. So this is not the first thing that is happening. The only thing that make it new is that they said the president. But if they said the political party should be able to nominate, including the opposition should have the percentage of how many people, like let's say if we are going to have 250 MPs that are from constituencies, then they say the 50 will be nominated. And then they said out of 50, the party that has won the election will be able to have 20.
Nominate
20. The next party, because people are nominated based on your strength in the parliament. Okay? If you cannot even contribute one person, then you cannot nominate anybody. That is how the percentage are supposed to be. So giving this percentage to the president or to the parties, it doesn't make the government not to be elected by the people, because you could see into it that 5% is like a drop in the water. Let's assume that there's going to be an election and there are 250. And the 5% of 250 will be two people. Get to the point now. It will be two people. So if it is two people and the president nominate two people and there are 250 or 240 that are not for the president, what significance will that thing make?
All right. Now, particularly as well on this thing, electoral bill, and there was concern today in one of the papers that there's a danger of South Sudan having a life precedent, because in this electoral bill there seems to be no term limits whatsoever.
Well, this, you know, the in most cases election bills should not be able to talk about the term limit. What should talk about the term limit is the constitution that people should be able to have. This is where we should be able to have the outline of the term limit of the presidency. And as a result of this, I still believe we have chance to be able to put the issue of term limit in the constitution, because that is the basis of election. Because if we don't have term limit for the president, then there is no need of doing election. It is better to make that person just be president until they die in the chair. But the best practice in the world says, even if you are the good president, the constitution should be changed. Look at the issue of Rwanda, for example. Rwanda was having a presidential term, which is 2 terms, of 7 years each. When Kagame finished 14 years, it is the people of Rwanda that pushed for the change of the constitution, because they don't believe in another person apart from Paul Kagame. So when the constitution was changed, it was changed at the interest of the people. So Sabin William, in leadership, it doesn't matter the term. What matters is the service that you are providing to the people. And if we have a live president that is for the people and giving service to the people of South Sudan, then that is what we want.
All right.
You have also seen...
But it has to be the will of the people.
You have also seen, for example, another example you have seen in India. You have seen Modi coming back after being president, and he was later on brought back because...
And then people brought him back.
People brought back. Yeah. You have also seen in Israel, Netanyahu, okay? He was the prime minister, and people bring him back. So... People want leaders who do their interest.
Yeah, absolutely. This happens, of course, but there must be a political process. There must be a democratic process where people are allowed to vote in a fair and free elections.
Absolutely.
Now, the SPLA-IO has warned that the peace agreement is on the rocks after they walked out of parliament. What do you take about this statement?
Well, they are right to say the peace agreement is on rock, because the peace agreement is the basis and the legitimacy of the current government. But my question that could be to the IO is that, is it legitimate for them to be able to say it? If this peace agreement is unrocked, then if they don't cooperate well with all the parties that they are there to make sure that they put things in place like the way they write the roadmap, where will the legitimacy be? So whatever the IO is doing, it will not affect only the SPLMIG. It will also affect them, because their legitimacy is within the peace agreement. And if they continue wasting time in the name of things are not moving well, then all of them will be bad off by the system, because the whole government will not be legitimate. And the president will be able to have the powers and the legitimacy, because the head of the state, to be able to decide on whatever the thing that they need to do. Is that the scenario that they want to put the country in? Which I think that should not be the right thing. So they don't need to drag feet on issues that are not making sense. Remember, Sabin William...
What do you mean issues that are not making sense? Because there's an agreement that is supposed to guide them.
But they are part of that agreement that are in leadership.
Absolutely.
That are in top leadership. For example, listen here, Sabin William.
They feel like the other party is not respecting the agreement supposed to be. Both sides, of course, the SPLM in government and the SPLM in opposition.
The IO should not be lamenting here. Why should they not be lamenting? Because if we have the president, they have the first vice president. That the second top powerful position in this country. If we have the parliament, we have the first deputy speaker. If we have the Council of State, they have the first deputy speaker of the Council of State. So IO should not be lamenting, because they are the source of power in this country. And if they are lamenting, that means they should stop being leaders in this country. Let them step aside and let other people try, because they are part of the government. And as a result of this, let them be talking as people who are owning the government, because this is a unity government and this is a coalition government. And they should speak in the spirit of the coalition government. They are not opposition, because there is a difference between an opposition that is like they have their members of the parliament, they have members in the parliament, but they are not part of the government. But in this case, it is a coalition government. When you handle a coalition government, you speak like the one who is in the government. You don't you speak like an opposition. So my surprise is that every time anything is done, in the interest of the coalition government, whether it is done by IO or done by the SPLM, we from outside don't need to understand that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because why should we understand when these people are sitting in the same chair? They are sitting in the same cluster, they are sitting in the same council of ministers, they are sitting in the same parliament, and they behave as if they are from an outsider. Mm.
But do they surely look at themselves as people from the one government, or they are so much leaning to both their parties? The SPLM in government leans to their parties, the SPLM in opposition leans to their party ideas. And this is what we've seen with the passing of the budget, and now we are seeing with this passing of the electoral bill. It's like, of course, opposition and government. Basically, they don't look at each other as one government.
Which is wrong. In fact, both sides, whether they are SPLMIG or SPLMIO, they have that spirit, and it is very clear. Mm-hmm. The SPLMIG look at themselves as the legitimate government. The SPLMIO look at themselves as the legitimate opposition. But they had forgotten the spirit of the peace agreement that said it is a coalition government where each member assigned to a given position of the government should be able to do their part until the time of the coalition government is over.
Great. Now, let's look at solutions to this. Now, how do you think these disagreements within parliament, within these political parties, can be resolved moving towards the election process?
Well, the only way it could be resolved is that our leaders need to stop being selfish. What do I mean by stop being selfish, Sabid William?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, most of our people currently in the government, not only from the opposition, including even the people in the SPLMIG,
mm-hmm.
each person believe only in themselves being the leaders. They only believe in themselves getting the benefit from the government. They believe in themselves not coming out of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the disease that we need to get rid of. If, for example, remember, all the people are from the opposition. Majority of people are people who came from nowhere to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to stick into that somewhere. And the question is, if you are not, you did not come there through a right way by the people to bring you, then let it stop everything we do and we go back to the people.
Okay.
Let the people of South Sudan be able to elect you if you believe that you are a leader and bring you back.
Great. Now, Professor, final question before you go. Do you see the elections happening as scheduled?
Well, the election, whether it is going to happen or not to happen, depend on what president will decide. The issue here is that if SPLM at the main party is ready to go for election, nobody will be able to stop them, Sabid William, because you know how things work in this country.
Absolutely.
That could be the only way that the other party is either to join them or else the SPLM go one-way traffic.
Yes.
And that will not be good for this country.
And won't that take us back to what we actually try to avoid for all these years?
And this is what I'm saying. This will not be good for our country. And that is why I was proposing to the iRadio, you might have seen from the news, this is where I was proposing that there should be a bigger measure of the SPLM. So that now the SPLM should be able to put its house in order. You could see now probably all these top people, look at mostly, let's say, the president, Riek Machar, Tabandeng, Wan Iga, Nyandeng, all are SPLM except Abdul Baghi.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way that these people could be able to use Arusha agreement, which will bring SPLM back? And SPLM now will reorganize itself and goes to the full. That could be better for the people.
In other words, you're saying that the president, President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar, probably should be running mates in the next election.
In fact, that is what I proposed earlier.
All right. Thank you so much for your thought and coming to Mirai Studios. That's the time we have. We do appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Professor Abraham.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine.
It's always good to have you.